Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Monday, June 8th, 2015. I'm your host, Scott Burton. On today's show, we'll get the details on Family Fishing Day at the Lake with Daniel Teske, Cole Koski, and Lori Scandlin. Cindy Isaac will be here with tips on avoiding travel nightmares. We'll talk with Shona Osterhout about Perseverance Theater's offerings, Star, and Theater in the Wild. And we'll talk with Coach Jeep Rice about the upcoming football season. Those interviews, National Native News, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more right here on a Juno Afternoon. Currently 54 degrees at the Juno Airport.
This is National Native News. I'm Stephen Emmons, in for Antonia Gonzalez. Federal officials say in 2014, they intercepted nearly 10 times as much heroin coming into Alaska than the previous year. The growing use of the drug is impacting urban and rural areas. This is the first in a series of three stories about the impacts of heroin in the majority Alaska Native community of Bethel in southwest Alaska. KYUK's Daisha Eaton begins with one Yupik woman's struggle to get clean.
Don't be fooled by Tracy Faulkner's 5'4". The small brunette with thick hair and the nickname Malachi, which means fur hat in Yupik, is a former wrestling champion. She competed against boys in high school, going all the way to state and national competition. But in her off time, she hid a dark secret.
When I wasn't training, I would go and steal my parents' booze, you know, find weed. It eventually progressed to taking pills. Got addicted to Tramadol, started taking that, moving to Oxycontin, and then went to using heroin.
Faulkner smoked it, others inject. She couldn't hold a job and at one point was stealing to support her habit. Each high, or nifty as they're called, costs $100 here. There are no treatment programs specifically for heroin addiction in Bethel. Rick Robb, Bethel's mayor, who also helps run the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation's Behavioral Health Division, says heroin has invaded Bethel.
It seems like a few years ago it would be non-existent to rare, but now we're seeing full-blown heroin.
Faulkner says she distinctly remembers the day this winter when she gazed out the window at a friend's house and realized she wanted to make a change.
I remember looking out on the river and just seeing everybody living life. And I was stuck in this dark place.
After detox at home, she was ready to check herself into the local treatment program run by YKHC. But it wasn't an easy process. YKHC told her it could take weeks to get an assessment necessary to access treatment. Instead of waiting, she got the assessment at a local primary care clinic and was able to check into inpatient treatment through YKHC within a few days. Rob with YKHC says he knows they need to do a better job of getting patients quickly into treatment. Now Faulkner is done with her treatment program. She says she gained strength from her ancestors and from her young son, who she says deserves to grow up in a healthy environment.
It's our younger generation that's going to be most affected by this. I mean, our heritage, our culture is going to be lost.
Faulkner says she knows she's in a unique position to help unite people in the region around the issue. And now that she's clean, that'll be her focus. In Bethel, I'm Daisha Eaton.
Tomorrow, we'll hear how the city of Bethel and other agencies are fighting the drug. U.S. Senators John Tester and Tom Udall have introduced legislation to prevent budget cuts in Indian Country. The bill exempts the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the Indian Health Service, and Housing Assistance from future sequestration. The senators say previous across-the-board budget cuts significantly impacted health care, education, public safety, and housing throughout Indian Country. Both senators say trust responsibilities to tribes need to be kept. The Cherokee Nation in Oklahoma is using more than $77,000 from the tribe's special projects budget to fund the installation of 5 community storm shelters. The 40-by-8-foot shelters are being placed at fire departments, a school, and a community building. The shelters will hold up to 100 people each. Cherokee leaders say the investment could potentially save lives from damaging storms. For National Native News, I'm Stephen Emmons.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support by United Tribes Technical College, offering courses online for a career in medical coding and for updating your current coding certification. Registration available through August 10th online at uttc.edu. The Convention and Tourism Department of the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce provides convention and event planning services for Native American organizations. Information at ahcnm.org. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Monday, June 8th, 2015. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 6 minutes after the hour, and I've been joined by a crew. We're going to be talking about the Family Fishing Day at the Lake with ADFNG's Daniel Teske, Cole Koski, and Lori Scanlings here from the Juno Gassineau Rotary. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Daniel, I want to start with you. I understand that Family Fishing Day at the Lake, it's been around for a while.
It has, yeah. This event was started in 1989 by the Department of Fish and Game and Territorial Sportsmen, and then Rotary joined in around 1991. And the impetus behind this whole event is to just encourage children and their families to get outdoors and have some fun. And along with that, we do stock the lake prior to the event. We have a cooperative agreement with Macaulay Hatchery and Division of Sport Fish, Fish and Game, and we stock the lake with roughly 10,000 king salmon smolt, 7 to 10 inches in length, and that usually occurs in late May or early June. This year, we stocked the lake last Friday, and we've already had people out there catching a few fish, so it should be pretty good for Saturday.
Yeah, so this is at Twin Lakes this Saturday, right?
That's correct. Yeah, the event runs this Saturday, June 13th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and we'll be there to provide fishing instruction and all kinds of stuff, and I'll let Cole get into that a little bit later, but maybe if Lori wanted to step in and talk about the Rotary's role and some of the wonderful sponsors that we have here in town. It's pretty great that all these organizations and folks come together to make this event successful. So
please
yeah,
do. Yeah,
I really echo that. It's an incredibly collaborative event. What Rotary's role is at Family Fishing Day at the Lake is we provide low-cost food, and we provide games for kids, because not every kid might fish, or they might be looking for some additional activity after they do fish or while they're waiting to get some gear and to get into the boat. And I should mention, this attracts hundreds of families every single year, rain or shine. I've worked at it several years. So Rotary will be selling hot dogs, chips, and soda beginning at 10 in the morning, and that may sound a little early, but believe me, people are lined up and ready for a hot dog at 10. We'll be selling from 10 to 3, and then we also offer free hot beverages, which last year the weather was similar to this, and we just burned through that coffee and the cocoa. What makes this all possible is we have a number of super generous folks in the community. Super Bear donates hundreds and hundreds of hot dogs and buns and the condiments. Odom Corporation provides scores and scores and scores of cans of soda, but also water, not just soda. McDonald's is going to be providing some prizes this year. Juno Public Library also leads kids' activities. Flying Squirrel provides the hot cocoa. Heritage, of course, provides the coffee. Ford, last couple of years, Stanley Ford has been a very generous supporter. They do a live remote because, you know, families are busy. They might forget about it. They hear it on the radio and they pull in. And the good thing is, you don't need to bring anything with you. They provide, meaning the Coast Guard Auxiliary and the Territorial Sportsmen and ADF&G, they provide the boats, the gear, the personal flotation devices, the bait. It is a show up with whatever you've got, and your family can have a lot of fun. We also have a couple new sponsors this year, State Farm Insurance, under the leadership of Reuben Willis, and Jared Lee Dentistry. So Barron's Mechanical is also a supporter, as well as Juno Radio Center and Northern Sales, which provides us thousands of bags of chips. So that stuff's popular. It's great. And families can get a cheap meal for the family while they're there, and then a variety of games with little prizes. It's just it's a fun community thing.
Sounds good. Cole, can you tell us a little about what would be like, what's the age range that can benefit from this, and then tell us a little bit about what they can expect to do on Saturday?
Yeah, all ages can benefit from this, really. And Fish and Game will be there providing fishing rods, tackle, reels, rods, hooks, bait as well, life jackets, also rowboats so people can get out onto the lake and enjoy it that way. And all this will be provided under a big tent. Just come and look for the Fish and Game logo banner on the tent, and they'll all be provided for no charge.
Okay. Daniel or Lori, this seems like a very popular event. What would you say?
It is a very, very popular event. It's been going on for decades now, and we really, really think it's a great opportunity to get families outside and just enjoy this beautiful place that we live in. I will note that I did look at the forecast for Saturday, and it looks like it's going to be pretty good. So I want to give a shout out to all my forecast buddies at NOAA. They do a wonderful job out there. But at any rate, no matter what the weather is, we will be there, rain or shine. So dress for the weather. Hopefully we'll get some good sunny weather, and it should be a really good time. I just wanted to plug a couple more sponsors. This event is possible. City and Borough of Juneau provides support for it. DIPAC Hatchery, Territorial Sportsmen, Western Auto Marine, Juneau Coast Guard Auxiliary, the Association for Education of Young Children, and Downtown Domino's Pizza. So those are some of the sponsors. And, yeah, we're really looking forward to this Saturday, 10 to 3 at Twin Lakes, and there should be a lot of fish to catch for everybody. And we'll have a lot of volunteer staff on hand from Fish and Game Sport Fish Division to provide instruction, and we can walk around and teach folks how to cast and retrieve. And we also provide filleting demonstrations on how to fillet the fish, and some of the kids really get a kick out of that when you get to show them the fish guts and all that. It's pretty neat.
I was going to ask you, is it catch and release, or do they get to take home their fish?
They get to keep the fish that they catch, and we can process it for them and give them a Ziploc bag to put it in to take it home, and we should be good to go. I should note that anglers 16 years of age or older will need a valid sport fishing license, and anybody that's under the age of 16 is free. They don't need a license. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Lori, how about you? How would you explain this event's popularity?
I think it's just a chance for families to find a very affordable day together. I think we take for granted, because we are a waterside community, that everybody has access to a rod or a boat. And okay, so you might not own a boat. We assume people have a rod and reel. And the reality is many families do not have that gear. And I think that anything provides a free opportunity for families to do something together is going to be popular and is going to be a healthy option in our community. I should mention one little thing. You see this poster here. It's cute as heck. I don't know if folks have seen it around town. One of the things that Rotary does is we sponsor in the Juneau School District, and they're super cooperative with us, an art contest. So kids have a chance to know what's going on and design something. And every year it's amazing the talent that comes out of the district. And they get kind of a little thrill to see their poster around town. So, again, I think because it's free, it gets you outdoors. You're collaborating with other people. You're just having fun. Our games for kids are free, and little prizes come with it. And then if you want something to eat, that's affordable. And the more you can have something for families that doesn't cost a bundle, the more families will get out there and do that.
Sure, sure. So it's this Saturday from 10 to 3. If somebody wants more information or has questions, where should they go?
They can call Cole. He's the front desk representative for Sportfish Region 1 here, and his phone number is 465-4270, and he can answer all your questions.
And again, no pre-registration necessary,
no.
Right?
No, nope. Just show up and have fun, and they'll get a life vest on you, put you in a boat, and you'll be hauling in a massive king salmon.
All right. Cole Koski, Daniel Teske, Lori Scanlon, thanks for coming in today. Are we missing anything?
No, I think that's it.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
till about 12 o'clock. Switched right back and got me a pole. Went to the hardware, got me a hook. Cinched that line right on that hook. Said you've been a fishing all the time. I'm a going fishing too. Bet your life, your loving wife is gonna catch more fish than you. Many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little something I would like to relate. Many fish bites if you got good bait. I'm a going fishing, yes I'm going fishing. I'm a going fishing too. About 4 o'clock, spied them catfish swimming around. I got so hungry, didn't know what to do. I'm gonna get me catfish too. Said you've been a fishing all the time. I'm a going fishing too. Bet your life, your loving wife is gonna catch more fish than you. Many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little something I would like to relate. Many fish bites if you got good bait. I'm a going fishing, yes I'm going fishing, I'm a going fishing too. Put on a skillet, lay by the lid. Mama's gonna cook a little shortening bread. Said you've been a fishing all the time. I'm a going fishing too. Bet your life, your loving wife is gonna catch more fish than you. Many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little something I would like to relate. Many fish bites if you got good bait. I'm a going fishing. Yes, I'm going fishing. I'm a going fishing too. Said you've been a fishing all the time. I'm a going fishing too. Bet your life, your loving wife is gonna catch more fish than you. Many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little something I would like to relate. Many fish bites if you got good bait. I'm a going fishing. Yes, I'm going fishing. I'm a going fishing too.
Registration for Only Fools Run at Midnight closes on Thursday at 5 p.m. Register today at ktoo.org for this 5K or 1 mile walk, wheel, or run. It's the only way to guarantee your Fools Run t-shirt and to show your support for Southeast Alaska independent living and public media in Juneau. Dress in costume or compete for best centipede and win prizes. Register now at ktoo.org.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Monday, June 8th, 2015. It's about 18 minutes past the hour. Scott Burton, your host on this partially cloudy afternoon. And in the studio with me now is Justin Showman. He's the development director here at K2. And we're going to be talking about Only Kids, Only Fools Run at Midnight. Welcome, Justin.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you. And yeah, Only Kids Run, Only Families Run, Only Parents, Only Everybody. Everyone should be
fun,
there.
Fun. The fun run.
That's right.
At Midnight, this Saturday. Tell us about it. This has been going on for a long time.
Yeah, this is the 31st year in Juneau, and this will actually be the first year where K2 is involved as anything other than a media sponsor, which we've been before. SAIL has organized the event, I believe, for the last 13 years. If you're unfamiliar, that's the Southeast Alaska Independent Living, a fantastic organization, and they were actually looking to partner with someone and kind of transition out of that event to refocus some of their energies into their mission, and they reached out to us, and that brings us to today. So we're really happy to be working with SAIL and putting on this event that, you know, I'm coming to learn quickly is really it's really a piece of the, I think, the cultural fabric here in Juneau every summer, and it's really going to be a good time.
Yeah, and it seems like a nice fit with K2 as well, so it's going to be fun. So it is this Saturday, and it's a lot of fun. It is a race, and it you can enter to get a good time, but I think a lot of people enter it just for the fun and camaraderie, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a little bit of everything, and you absolutely can race. Because this one gets a little big and unruly, it's actually not timed, but we do know the top finishers. So you can definitely race competitively. You can also come in a costume, and we have costume judging, a couple of folks who you know, voices you know here at KTOO will be judges, including Jeff Brown and Jeremy Shea, along with a couple of representatives from SAIL. And there's just so many options. You can enter as a centipede, which is a group of five or more connected. So really,
I mean,
there's
this
a little
borderline parade, right?
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
If somebody does want to sign up, when do they need to do that by, and how do they do that?
They can do that at ktoo.org. They can also go to sailinc.org, or there's a couple places where you can actually register in person. They include, you can come up to the station here at 360 Egan Drive. You can go to sales offices. You can go to either location of the JRC Alaska Club. You can go to Nugget Alaskan Outfitters, Pavitt Health, or First Bank, and they all have registration forms. Pre-registration closes Thursday at 5 p.m., so that's pre-register today. It guarantees you the T-shirt. We always have a few more runners than we do T-shirts. We try and plan, and SAIL tries to plan for everyone who's going to show up, but it's such a popular event that it always kind of eclipses us by a little bit. So pre-register today and get that shirt. It is $20 registration in advance. It's $25 day of. Registration will be closed Friday while we organize everything, and then race day registration will open again at 10:30 p.m. at Centennial Hall on Saturday night.
How much does it cost to register, and where did those proceeds go?
It is $20 advance registration, and this year, as a part of our partnership, all proceeds are actually going to be split between SAIL and public media here in Juneau. So your registration will go to support not only the great mission of SAIL, but also KTOO, KRNN, and KXLL.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. That's this Saturday, Only Fools Run at Midnight. Development Director Justin Showman, are we missing anything?
No, I think we got it.
Cool. Thanks for coming in. We'll see you on Saturday.
Thank you very much.
Hello, stranger.
Hello there, stranger.
Does this road go all the way to Little Rock?
I've been standing here all day, and it hasn't gone nowhere yet.
Hello, stranger.
Hello again, stranger.
Your corn looks awful little and yeller.
I planted the little yeller kind.
Hello, stranger.
Well, hi there, stranger.
I don't believe you're too far from a fool, are you?
Believe what?
I said I don't believe you're very far from a fool.
No, that's right, son. Just this guitar and mandolin here between us.
Hello, stranger.
Well, hi, stranger.
How'd your potatoes turn out?
They didn't turn out at all. I had to dig them out.
Hello, stranger.
Well, hello, stranger.
Can't you see that your roof is leaking? Why don't you fix it?
Well, right now it's raining too hard, and when the sun's a-shining, why, it don't leak.
Hello, stranger.
Well, hello there, stranger.
Have you lived here all your life?
Not yet.
stranger.
Hello there, stranger.
You're not very smart, are you?
No, but I ain't lost.
I can't believe they posted these pictures online. That's horrible. We need to do something.
I don't think we should get involved.
Have you seen these? We have to do something.
Maybe you're right.
Can I talk to you?
Every Alaskan has the right to be safe and free from domestic violence and sexual assault.
Together we can make a difference. Visit dps.alaska.gov/cdvsa.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Monday, June 8th, 2015. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 26 minutes after the hour. I've been joined in the studio now by Perseverance Theater Shona Osterhout, also a fellow host here on a Juno Afternoon, the one, the only Shona Osterhout. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, Scott.
It's great to have you. Hey, great job on Saturday night, Susu and the Prophets, Perseverance.
Oh, thanks.
End of the year party. That was awesome.
It was really a lot of fun, you know. Betsy Sims, the illustrious sound engineer in town, makes everybody sound good, even, you know, even sometimes when you're not. So that works out really well. So, yeah. Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, that was really fun. But today we're going to talk about the STAR program and also Theater in the Wild, a couple programs that you run over there at the theater. Want to tell us about them?
Yeah, so summertime is time for Perseverance Theater adult actors to kind of regroup, you know, and get their stuff ready for the 2015-2016 season. But what it means for young people at Perseverance Theater is that it's the theater is their playground, essentially. So we run this camp called STAR. It's the Summer Theater Arts Rendezvous. It's about, this year it's the 34th summer. So it's been going on for a really long time. I personally have been doing it for 12 summers, which I was just like, whoa, which is a lot of fun. It's a really good time. It's been at UAS campus. It's been all over the place. But this year, it's the summer, it'll be at Perseverance Theater. Kids can do one of three shows. So this is for ages 10 to 18. We do the 10-year-olds as opposed to like the 8-year-olds or the 7-year-olds because they there's long rehearsal. It's a long process. It's 5 weeks long. So it's not your, it's not just like a little touch of theater. It's actually a full-on production. So there's costumes and there's sound and set and all that kind of stuff. So the kids can sign up to do one of three productions. One of them is the musical, and it's called Thoroughly Modern Millie. It's a junior version of that, if people have seen the movie. There's Shakespeare's Stars, and this is a conglomeration of monologues and scenes all from Shakespeare's shows. And then the third piece is actually a play that students can write with the director. So they get to just kind of write their own play and whatever that's about. So there's three different directors. There's different times for the different rehearsals. It's a lot of fun. It's totally a great camp. It's a camp environment, too. So it's not like, you know, but we're serious about it.
When does it start?
It starts June 29th. So we've got about, I guess, 3 Mondays or 2 Mondays, something like that. Yeah.
And 10 to 18, right? Age range. What's a day look like for one of these participants?
Yeah, so if you're in the musical, you rehearse in the morning. It's like 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and that's pretty much straight rehearsal. You know, you learn your music, you learn your you learn your lines at home, so you're coming into the room, you're working on your blocking. Then we also do, from 1 to 2 p.m., we do a class that is like all 50. There's about 50 kids in the program usually every summer. So from 1 to 2, we do skills-building exercises. So that's vocal, that's a physical work. It's learning how to have some presence on stage, all those kinds of things.
Sure. You've grown up acting, right? From
since I was a little tot.
Did you go to camps like these?
Oh, totally. Yeah. In fact, I used to go to soccer camp because I'm a soccer geek. And then I would go to theater camp, and it was always one of those things. I was like, wow, if the soccer people only knew what the theater people did, you know? And it's just a great way to build skills, you know? And I also, too, think that some of the people that I hear, you know, over and over again on the radio, or even good public speakers, they all have some kind of theater. They've had a theater experience in their lifetime that has made them more confident on stage or just speaking to others, really.
Sounds good. And what's the cost for that? And I assume it benefits Perseverance Theater?
Yeah, the cost is $450. It's a 5-week camp. So it's really, we try to keep it really affordable for people. The other thing is there's scholarships available. We'd hate for any of our programs to be cost prohibitive. We're definitely people that want to make sure that theater is an open access, open door type of policy. So please give me a buzz. There's scholarship applications if people would like scholarships.
It sounds like a lot of fun. That's STAR, and that starts on June 29th. What about Theater in the Wild? This is the second year. You started this. Tell us about it. Sounds very cool.
Yeah, this is like my little love child right here. of course, there's all sorts of us up here who play in the woods, you know, a lot. And I'm a kayak instructor. I've got certification in wilderness CPR, and I just really enjoy the great outdoors, and I also am a theater geek. So I was like, well, how do I combine these two things together to make it something that kids could learn in the woods? What can they learn? And so it's essentially like a way for people to get inspired by nature, then to produce or create theater. So it's a week-long camp for high schoolers. It's out at the Boy Scout Beach Camp, so they camp out with us all week long. They do kayaking and wilderness survival techniques. They learn about bears and do all sorts of cool stuff like that during the day. And then we have evening fireside rehearsals. So they can work on Midsummer Night's Dream. They can work on any kind of text they really want to. And then we do a performance at the very end of it, which is really great, that the parents, and actually last year about 50 people hiked out. So they hike out. We do the performance all through the woods. So we send the audience on this journey, and then all those props and costumes and everything are made from natural materials. And, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds great. And that's a one-week-long camp. When is that?
That is actually right after, so STAR closes August 2nd. August 3rd, we get started with Theater in the Wild. So we hike out into the woods that day.
And how many can participate in that?
You know, last year we had 10, which was a great first kind of like starter number, you know, because we were like, oh, well, how is this going to work? And it works really well. So hopefully we can get some more, like 20, 30, 40. You know, it doesn't, right now there's no cap on it. There's lots of room out there. It's a beautiful, if people haven't been to the Boy Scout camp facility, it's incredible. It's right out there on Eagle Beach. It's beautiful.
Sure. Shona, I'm wondering, you spend a lot of time acting and a lot of time teaching. How do they complement each other for you? Does one feed the other?
I feel like all the best teachers in the world are actors, you know, because they have text, they've learned script, and that's facts, and it's also experiential. So the way I like to think about it is that every time I get in front of a group of people, whether it's teaching them or not, that I need to give them something just as much as I want them to give back. So for me, that's what performance is all about. That the audience is only ever going to experience as much as I give them, and vice versa. So I think of teaching as in the same fashion, really.
Okay. If somebody wants more information on either STAR or Theater in the Wild, where should they go?
They can check out perseverancetheater.org. There's also we have a new, I don't even know what that's called, domain name. I think that's what it's called. And it's really much easier to spell. It's ptalaska.org. So super easy. You can give me a buzz at the theater, too, anytime, or shoot me an email. I'm happy to talk about Theater in the Wild and STAR, and it's time to register. STAR's filling up. In fact, the musical, I think, as of this morning, I think is totally full. So the other two shows are available for that. So,
And one last question. You know, I'm sure there are a ton of teenagers listening to a Juno Afternoon right now.
Like, that's
tuned in. If there's someone out there that's on the fence and they're like, I don't know, should I go to one of these camps or maybe not? What would you say to them? What has acting done for you as a person, and would you communicate to them?
Well, you know, there's a lot of times in my, I'm not kind of a corporate type person. Like, I don't really believe in, I appreciate corporate sponsorships and things that people I really believe that people do good stuff in those. But I also am a person that just likes to do things, sometimes on the fly and learn about, what really is a nonprofit organization? What does that mean? And I know this is not appealing for kids. But what I'm trying to say is, like, if you're not kind of like the person that, if you feel like maybe you're on the outside or you're on the fringe of what is acceptable, and I air quote acceptable, you know, if you feel like you're on the outside of that, if you feel like people are like, oh, well, you know, you do art, so that's a little weird. Well, it's just not the case in the theater. You know, people who are thinking creatively and differently are in the theater all the time because that is the place where you can do that. So I think for kids who maybe feel like they might be a little on the outside of the mainstream, it's a really great place to be, is in the theater.
All right. Two wonderful summer programs, Star and Theater in the Wild, coming up soon, sponsored by Perseverance Theater. One more time, where to get information?
PerseveranceTheater.org, PTAlaska.org, or you can give me an email at Shona@PerseveranceTheater.org.
Shona Osterhout, thank you so much.
Thanks, Scott. Really appreciate it.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 8th of June, 2015. The birthday of Frank Lloyd Wright, born Richland Center, Wisconsin, 1867, led a long life, died in 1959. His mentor was the architect Louis Sullivan, who coined the saying, form follows function. Wright seemed to believe that form and function should be as one. His designs inspired the Prairie School architects, designing buildings that complemented, even seemed part of, nature. He liked natural materials, wood and stone, never painted them, horizontal designs, low roof lines so that the buildings blended in with the landscape, incorporated walls made almost entirely of windows to bring the outdoors indoors, glass walls that were also functional, using winter sunlight to help heat the house. It's the birthday of the biophysicist Francis Crick, born Northampton, England, 1916, who, on a February day in 1953, walked into the Eagle Pub in Cambridge, England, and announced, "We have found the secret of life." He and his colleague James Watson that very morning had figured out the structure of deoxyribonucleic acid, DNA, the chemical substance that carries our genes. It was on this day in 1867 Mark Twain boarded the steamer in the Quaker City and set off on a five-month trip to Europe and the Mediterranean, which wound up as newspaper columns for a paper in San Francisco and his book Innocence Abroad or The New Pilgrim's Progress. It became the most popular travel book of his time, in which he wrote, "The gentle reader will never, never know what a consummate ass he can become until he goes abroad." He wrote, "In Paris, they just simply opened their eyes and stared when we spoke to them in French. We never did succeed in making those idiots understand their own language." It's the birthday of Franklin Hiram King, born on a farm near Whitewater, Wisconsin, 1848, who became the first professor of agricultural physics, and as such, he was responsible for the invention of the cylindrical silo. In order to save all the silage that used to rot in the corners of the traditional rectangular silos. And it's the birthday of the crime novelist Sarah Paretsky, born Ames, Iowa, 1947, the creator of the character V.I. Warshawski, a female detective who is smart, good with a gun, also likes to dress well, loves cappuccino, and enjoys her sex life. She's been featured in 17 novels, and the 18th is due out this summer, called Brushback. Here's a poem for today by William Carlos Williams, entitled Pastoral. When I was younger, it was plain to me I must make something of myself. Older now, I walk back streets admiring the houses of the very poor, roof out of line with sides, the yards cluttered with old chicken wire, ashes, furniture gone wrong, the fences and outhouses built of barrel staves and parts of boxes, all, if I am fortunate, smeared a bluish green that properly weathered pleases me best of all colors. No one will believe this of vast import to the nation. Pastoral, a poem by William Carlos Williams from the collected poems of W.C. Williams, published by New Directions and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, offering poetry podcasts to listen to and thousands of poems to read at poetryfoundation.org. And by Progressive Insurance, working to make progress for more than 75 years. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
You're listening to A Juno Afternoon here on Monday, June 8th, 2015. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 18 minutes until the top of the hour. I've been joined in the studio now by Coach Jeep Rice, head football coach out at Thunder Mountain. Welcome, Coach Rice.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's nice to have you. And also Jenny Smith. She's part of the Peregrine Booster Club. Welcome, Jenny.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we're here to talk about the upcoming youth football skills camp. So let's talk about that. But I also, in a minute, I want to learn more about Thunder Mountain football and such. But you want to start with the camps here, Coach Rice?
Sure, I'll start. Well, it's a youth camp, so it's open to third graders up through eighth graders that are coming in. It's non-contact, so it's going to be relatively safe in that sense. Be a lot of running around. We're going to have some fun. We're going to teach skills on just about every position from quarterbacks to defensive backs to linemen to tight ends to whatever. If it's a football position, we'll be teaching some skills for it.
Okay, and it looks like there's two camps, one that starts June 15th and one that starts July 6th. Is that correct?
That's correct. There are two camps. The first one starts in just, a week from today.
Okay. And
both afternoon camps. They start at 12:30 in the afternoon and go to 4:30.
Okay. Jenny, can you tell us about how the Peregrine Booster Club comes in?
Well, the Peregrine Booster Club supports Thunder Mountain High School football and cheer. We're basically the money raisers for the team. So us, together with the coaches, the players, the parents, and any other helpers we can get in the community, we have to raise over $100,000 a year to support this team because we pay for both our own team's travel and our visiting team's travel.
Okay, and I'm assuming that the proceeds from these camps, it looks like $95 for one of the camps, $75 for the other. Do these support travel and such?
Absolutely.
Okay. Coach Rice, you have a long history of coaching and supporting football in Juneau. Will you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I started coaching when my son was 10 years old a long time ago, 1981, and just been coaching ever since.
Okay.
And coaching high school football for about 25 of those years.
And you're a football player yourself?
I have. I played both in high school and some in college. I found out in college that I did not have a future in football. I was not going to make any money at that, and that I better hit those grades pretty hard, and which I did.
But just before the interview, you were telling me that it was very formative for you.
It was. It did have a big impact on my life. It taught a lot of responsibility, teamwork, and those are actually skills that I used in my own job. I worked out at the Auk Bay Fisheries Lab, led a team of researchers there, and And that's how I approached it. We were a team. I may have been the leader of the team, but all the skills, the responsibility, teamwork, accountability, all those factor in.
You know, I don't think people hear that a lot about football. We hear about, you know, the dangers of football, but we don't hear about the positives like that very often.
Well, there are a lot of positives to football. Very few of us ever make it past, say, high school ball. Very few indeed, but it still has a lot to do with accountability for, and it's very formative, as you said. There are people, well, my teammates that I graduated from high school with, I still am in touch with them.
A lot of camaraderie, huh?
Yeah.
And so a youth camp like this is going to help prepare the students for high school football. Tell us about some of the activities that go on throughout the day.
Well, it'll be a lot of running around. We'll do a little bit of conditioning. We'll certainly do drills, for example, that help kids stretch and get warmed up, that sort of thing. Then we'll do some agility-type drills, and then we'll do some position-specific drills. For example, a quarterback will be going through the motions of how to throw the pass, what steps does he take before he throws, how to hand off. Running back will be how to receive that handoff, how to react, things like that. A lot of individual skills will be developed. every player will go through a sequence, so they'll be actually doing every single position at some time during the week.
Okay. Jenny, if somebody wants to sign up, where should they do that?
Well, let's see. You can contact us at the Booster Club through our email, which is tmhsbooster@gmail.com. You can call me at 988-7643 or call the coach at 723-0867 and get in touch and see what you can do to help or sign up for the camp.
Okay. Coach Rice, can you give us an update on Thunder Mountain football? I know you've been back there for what? 3 years?
No, I've been the head coach. This will be my third year as the head coach. But I actually started at Thunder Mountain. I left JD and started at Thunder Mountain when it started the football program 7 or 8 years ago, I guess now. Time flies when you're having fun. And I coached at JD for quite a while. Actually, I was head coach at JD back in 1989 and 1988, for example, before I got into the high school as a formal part of the program as a club team at that time. So I have been around quite a while.
And how's the team doing these days?
They're doing better. We won twice as many games last year as we won the year before. We've also increased the numbers. We finished 2 years ago. We finished with about 26 kids, and last year 46. And now, right now, we have over 60 on our roster. So we're doing pretty good that way.
Okay. Speaking of the youth football skills camp, why is it important for, you said, third through eighth graders to start practicing early?
Well, I think it's... I don't think they need to practice this early in order to be great football players. It's just basically an activity to keep them busy, keep them conditioned, learn something in the process, and have fun. I mentioned that we would be looking at each of the individual positions and skills, but we'll also be playing some games. We'll have some passing league games, for example, and some fun relays that relate to football also.
Sounds like fun and a good way to spend time in the summer.
It is.
Yeah, get away from the computer screen for a while, right?
There you go.
Jenny Smith, can you give us a few more details about like when the camp is and maybe another phone number?
Okay, yes. The camp is going to start at 12:30. It's going to be at the Thunder Mountain High School football field. And the kids can show up at noon and start getting ready to play. And everybody should be picked up and on their way back home by 5 p.m. You can look at us up on our Facebook page now. We have one Peregrine Booster Club on Facebook, and the details of the camp are on the Facebook page.
Okay. Jenny Smith, thank you for coming in. Coach G. Price, thank you so much. Are we missing anything you want to add?
Well, just that these are busy times, so we have a lot of other activities. We've got a whale watch coming up, for example, on the 24th of July, where the tickets are $75. It's one of our big fundraisers. It's a good time and pretty reasonable rates, too. That's a good price. We're doing a lot of jobs. We're going to load a U-Haul truck a little later this week. We're going to move a sofa and a dresser. We're going to move one office for the state. We got a lot of activities.
Interesting.
We're busy people.
Yeah, and I assume if somebody wants to find you, maybe go to the Facebook page.
You can go to the Facebook page, and Coach Rice coordinates all the Falcon worker jobs, and his number is 723-0867. We are also going to have a couple of food sales coming up at big events around town, so Gold Rush Days at Sandy Beach, and then 4th of July at Sandy Beach. Look for us selling taco boats.
And Coach Rice, how do you figure out how much to charge per job?
Basically, it's whatever the job's worth, whatever the market will bear. Basically, we ask for $10 an hour per player that's working hard.
Okay.
We've had a lot of satisfied customers out there. We've completed over 60 jobs so far in the last 2 or 3 months.
Wow. Okay. Well, again, Coach G. Price, thank you so much. Jenny Smith, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Good luck at the Youth Football Skills Camp, and we'll see you around town, and good luck next season as well.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Bird Note. I'm Dominic Black.
I was very lucky because I had an epiphany.
When Bruce Beeler talks about birds, he's talking about a vocation he's had since a family picnic in the late 1950s in Lake Roland Park, north of Baltimore, Maryland.
And I happened to be just looking around, and I looked up and saw this woodpecker high in a dead tree. And it had a red crown. It was a red-bellied woodpecker. I didn't know at the time what it was, but I saw that bird, and that bird captured me.
The imprint of that epiphany has stayed with Bruce Beeler across 50 years or more as a distinguished ornithologist. Right up to the day I spoke to him. He was at a campground in southwestern Wisconsin, roughly two-thirds of the way through a 100-day trek in partnership with American Bird Conservancy, following the spring migration from south to north, beginning on the Gulf of Mexico.
Certainly the most exciting thing was to see the birds come across the Gulf. They actually drop into these little patches of oak woods down on the coast, on the Gulf Coast. And they arrive in the afternoon, and they start feeding madly and moving in groups of birds. So instead of one or two Swainson's thrushes, you'd see 10 or 20. You know, instead of a single painted bunting, which is what you normally see, you'd see 10 or 15. You might see 50 indigo buntings, 25 rose-breasted grosbeaks, all in a group feeding in a mulberry tree. So that's stunning.
Dr. Bruce Beeler's traveling north following the spring migration. For Bird Note, I'm Dominic Black.
You're listening to A Juno Afternoon here on Monday, June 8th. It's about 8 minutes until the top of the hour.
Southeast Alaska Independent Living and your public media station in Juneau present the annual Only Fools Run at Midnight. Run, walk, or wheel 5K or 1 mile on June 13th at 11:59 p.m. Be one of the first 550 to pre-register now at ktoo.org or saleinc.org, and you'll get a free t-shirt. Dress in costume, compete for best centipede, and win prizes. Proceeds from this event will be shared between Sale and your public media station in Juneau. For more information, call 463-6422.
When you're a sustaining member of K2, your membership automatically renews every year. No renewal notices, no pre-drive mailings, and most importantly, no lapsed memberships. We'd like to take a moment to thank some of the sustainers whose membership automatically renews this month for another year. Nancy DeCherney, Michael Stanley, Eric Forer, Molly Hodges, and Ellen Anderson. To join them as a sustainer or to increase your monthly gift, just go to ktoo.org. Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in to a Juneau Afternoon here on Monday, June 8th. It's about 3 minutes till the top of the hour. I'll be your host again tomorrow, and I'll talk with Kate Morse about next month's Cordova Salmon Festival. Claire Imamura will be here to highlight genealogy research at the Alaska Historical Library. And we'll talk with Kate DiCamillo, National Ambassador of Youth Literature, That Writer's Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more, live at 3 here on KTOO News, repeated at 4 on KRNN, and online via ktoo.org. The weather for tonight looks like mostly cloudy, scattered rain showers in the evening, lows around 43. Tuesday, mostly cloudy, slight chance of rain, highs around 55. Wednesday, rain, highs around 54. Thursday, numerous showers, highs around 54. And going into the weekend, mostly cloudy, highs around 58. Saturday, mostly cloudy. Saturday night and Sunday, mostly cloudy. Stay tuned for the news.